Sure, it's good to see everybody here this morning. I look out and see that we have a number of visitors, and we certainly are delighted to have you here with us and hope that you can take time to stay around so that we get to know you better. Very much appreciate the song service that Bill led for us and Jeremy's prayer, and the fact that Billy did such a fine job in reading the scripture that we're going to base our lesson on this morning. You know, this is that time of year, at least for me, when we begin to see this change in seasons, when, though I don't really want to do it, I begin to become concerned about things. Concerned about whether or not I've got the house prepared for the upcoming winter. Have I cleaned the gutters out? Have I got everything, the yard furniture that needs to be in the basement? All of those various things around the house that we begin to concern ourselves with and begin to worry about. And then I begin to wonder whether or not I've got sufficient capability stored up to get us through the winter. And there are just so many things that we begin to think about at this time of the year that can cause us to lose our focus and begin to worry about things. And that's really what we want to talk about, what we find in Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 25. But as we look at verse 25, it says, "For this reason I say to you." And Jesus has just given us the reason that he says these things to us, beginning in about verse 19 of chapter 6. That is, where are we going to store up our treasures? Where is our mind going to be? What are we going to be thinking about? Are we going to be focused on getting that house ready? Are we going to do the things that cause us to worry about things of this life? Are we going to begin to store our treasures up in heaven? And based on that, he then says, "For this reason, I say to you, do not be anxious, do not worry." And many of the answers, I think, to this idea of not worrying can be found in these few verses. First of all, I think that we'll see that Jesus loves me, that Jesus loves us. Secondly, that God protects us. And third, that I do indeed have hope if I put my treasures where they ought to be. Jesus said in this passage, verse 25, "Be not anxious for your life." And the New King James Version says, "Do not worry about your life." And this is a commandment that unfortunately most of us at some time or another in our lives have failed to keep. And I'm not suggesting that we ought to take the happy-go-lucky approach of that song that was sung a few years back, "Don't Worry, Be Happy." But we need to focus our attention in the right place, at the right time, and under the right circumstances. It's easy for me to stand up here and say to you, don't worry about your family, don't worry about your health, don't worry about where your next meal is coming from. But it's difficult, particularly in light of the responsibilities that we have for our families, the concerns that we have for our children, for our wife, the pressures that are put onto us as a result of our jobs, and just the daily activities that we find ourselves in, and for the young people, those pressures of school that we begin to worry about. Because after all, this is getting to be what time of year? It's exam time, and we begin to worry, did I do enough to prepare myself for these exams? And we need to keep this in mind and understand that we can learn from God's Word how to overcome the anxiety that can be creeping into our minds. And I feel very, very comfortable that Jesus would not command us to do something that we're not capable of doing. He would not command us to do the impossible, to command us to do something that we don't have the ability to do. It can be done, and we must do it. We must do our best not to worry about things. Anxiety is forbidden because it shows a lack of faith in the goodness and care of our Heavenly Father. You know, we may believe that God's Word is true, but if we let our minds become cluttered with the cares of the world, if we become apprehensive and anxiety begins to pound on our faith, it begins to wear us down and our faith is weakened, or maybe it is dead. And Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 16 says, "And without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who seek Him." Well, how can we rely on the mercy of God in death if we are afraid to trust Him in this life? And it's a very, very serious question that we need to ponder. We're trusting Him in death because we all want that assurance of a heavenly home. But do we trust Him in this life that we're now living? Well, the necessities of life are not forbidden, because it certainly tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8, "But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 8 tells us that we must provide for our own. We need to give thought and care to our physical bodies, but Jesus is forbidding our being overly concerned, overly zealous, so full of concern and trouble and upset with dread to the point that we don't function as we should as Christians. We lack that peace of mind that we can have if we put our faith in Jesus. Some have even pushed themselves to the point that they're no longer able to function and to work properly and to provide for their own. The joy can be taken out of the life that we have on this earth. We become blinded to those many, many blessings that God has given us, and we fail to give thanks for that which we have. Our spiritual life begins to wane and is lost, and we become useless in the Lord's service. And so these are things that we have to be cognizant and concerned about as we think about those physical needs that we have. Yes, we have to supply and provide for our own, but we have to have that balance that doesn't push us to the point that we lose our spiritual nature and our usefulness in the Lord's work. Well, worrying not only wears out our physical bodies, but it can wear out our minds as well. Worrying to the point that we affect our judgment, we lessen our power of decisions, and we can even render ourselves progressively incapable of dealing with life in general. People can worry so much about the physical things in life that they can drive themselves to the point that they just cannot handle life in general. We need to do our best in every situation that we find ourselves in. One of the things that has always bothered me with my children was when they would come up to me and say, "Dad, pray for me, I have a test tomorrow." And I said, "Son, did you study?" "Well, no." We have to prepare ourselves. We have to do the things that we need to do to get the job done. But we don't need to push ourselves to the point that we no longer are capable of reacting in the society that we live in. And then we just need to leave the rest to God. But we need to have a proper outlook on life. And Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4 tells us, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory." We need to have a proper outlook on life. We need to ask ourselves the question, who am I? And what's the first answer that should come to our minds? Hopefully, it's, I am a Christian. That's the key. If my first responsibility and reaction is that I'm a Christian, then I'm going to do these other things to the best of my ability, and I'm not going to allow myself to worry myself into a point where I have problems. And I've always felt in my family the easiest way to do this is to let my wife's hair turn gray and mine just stays the normal color. So I let her do the worrying for us, and yet she doesn't over-worry to that extent. And then the other question we need to ask ourselves is, where's my mind? Is it, as Jesus told us, where it should be in Acts 6, verse 19? Is it in heaven? Are my treasures being laid up there? Or am I laying up my treasures here on earth? Well, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6, 19 through 24, as I've said, not to lay up treasures upon this earth, nor to let riches be our master. He says we cannot serve two masters. We'll hate one and love the other. We cannot serve manna and God. We cannot let riches become our master. It's not just worrying about having, but it's worrying about not having enough, and even more importantly, worrying about losing what we have. Such makes us a servant to riches. It robs us of our time, our energy, and our thoughts. We're always concerned with how are we going to get and to maintain the worldly things that we surround ourselves with. Well, I think Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 34 helps us understand the things that we need to do not to be anxious. And I think there's seven reasons that we find in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24. And they are, and we'll go through each of these individually in just a moment, God has given us our lives and our bodies. God's consideration of inferior creatures assures us of His great concern for us. The fact that worrying is just useless. And the Father beautifully clothed the flowers which live only for a moment. And in the last three, that God has given us our lives and our bodies, and we'll just go through these. God's consideration of inferior creatures assures us that of His great concern for us. Worrying is useless. The Father beautifully clothes the flowers which lie only for a short time. Worry is something which the Gentiles do because they do not know what God is like. And there's no need to worry over material things, for the Father knows our needs and will satisfy them. And it's foolish to worry over the future when we do not know what the future holds or will bring for us, and when worrying about the future is not going to change it. Well, let's look at these individually in the next few minutes. First of all, God has given us our lives and our bodies. Jesus asked, isn't life more than food and the body more than raiment in these verses 25 through 34? Isn't the body more than clothes? And the answer certainly is yes. And Jesus reasons from the greater to the lesser. Since God has given us life and body, doesn't it make sense that we ought to trust Him to give us the food that we'll need to sustain our lives and the clothing to cover our bodies? He's told us that He's given us life and our bodies, so we ought to then be able to reason from the greater to the lesser that these other things that are necessities in life will come our way. Philippians chapter 4, 4 through 6 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say rejoice. Let your forbearing spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God." do you trust? Do you really trust God for the things that we need in this life? Are we willing to put our trust in Him? And think about it. He gave us the very life that we have, the very body that we have. In Acts chapter 17, Paul says that the life that we have came from God. Well, if He gave us that, surely we can trust Him for these menial necessities of life like food and clothing. Let's think about this idea of God's consideration of inferior creatures assure us of His great concern for us. We won't see many of them until spring. But birds are not worried about the future, but they sing cheerfully. And that's one of the wonderful things about springtime, is when the birds come back and they begin to sing cheerfully. Let me read to you a poem written by Elizabeth Chinaway, which is entitled Overheard in an Orchard. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I'd really like to know why these ancient human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "Friend, I think it must be they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me." What wisdom is found in those few verses. The robin wonders why we're anxious, and the sparrow says, they must not have a heavenly father who cares for them as He cares for us. You know, birds don't serve riches. And since God doesn't forget even the sparrow but feeds them, surely, surely we can count on our God as well to give us our daily bread. Luke chapter 12, verses 6 through 7. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 cents? And yet not one of them is forgotten before God. Indeed, the very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear. You are more valuable than many sparrows. And Brother Dykus, a number of years ago, wrote these words in a song, and it's song number 377 in our songbook. Lord, I believe, yes, I believe, I cannot doubt or be deceived. The eye that sees each sparrow fall, His unheard hand is in it all. Doesn't that give us comfort to know that God cares for these inferior creatures? And if He cares for them, surely He cares for us even more. Jesus asked, "Are you not of much more value than they?" in Matthew chapter 6. And the answer is a resounding yes. For after all, are we not made in His image, in the image of God, Genesis 1, 26 and 27? Are we not the recipients of His redeeming grace, Psalms 111 and verse 9? And did He not send His Son to die for us, Romans chapter 5, verses 8 through 11? His consideration for these inferior creatures should most assuredly assure us of His greater concern for us. Well, when we think about it, worrying is really useless, isn't it? Is it going to make a hill of a beans difference how much you worry about how tall you are or whether you've got hair on the top of your head? You're not going to change that by worrying. In fact, as we grow older, we're just going to get shorter, and there's nothing we can do about it. So worrying just doesn't help. Unfortunately, though, some people just worry themselves into a state of depression because they are not content with their physical appearance. You know, it's senseless, I would suggest to you, to be overly concerned about our physical appearance. It's senseless because even with modern-day plastic surgery, we're not going to change who we are, even if we do change our external appearance. And yet we spend hours and hours, don't we, before the mirror, making sure that we look our very best. And there's nothing wrong with that. But what I'm suggesting is, let's spend an equal amount of time not worrying about it and doing those things that will help us enhance God's kingdom. It's senseless, for regardless of the attention, time, or money spent on our bodies, you know what? In the end, they're going to return to dust from whence they came. In Genesis 3:19, by the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you will return. Spend all the money you want to. Do whatever it is that you want to improve your appearance. But in the end, we're all going to die and return to dust. What God is looking at is not that external appearance, but that internal beauty. It's the beauty of the heart that is important in the sight of God. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. And let not your adornment be merely external, braiding the hair and wearing gold jewelry and putting on dresses, but let it be the hidden person of the heart, with the imperishable quality of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of God. And I know this speaks to the apparel of women, but the same holds true for men. It's not that outwardness, but it's what's in our heart, that hidden person of the heart, that gentle and quiet spirit. That's what God is pleased with. And Jesus asked, which of you, by laying fault, can add one cubit unto his stature? And the answer to that question is no one. Well, the Father beautifully clothed the flowers which live only for a moment. You know, Solomon was to the Jews the highest representative of earthly grandeur. Yet Solomon was outdone by the lily, surpassed by the common lily of the field. You know, flowers are not servants of riches, and yet they are beautifully clothed. The glory and beauty of the flower is natural and hence made directly by the hand of the Creator without the instrumentality of man. And you look at the outer garments and clothing of Solomon. Those were made by the hands and the instrumentality of man. But that beautiful lily is a creation of God. This shows, I think, the ability of God to accomplish the utmost in the field of adornment and clothing. There's nothing more beautiful than a field of spring flowers. God's adornments are so much better than anything that we might be able to do. In Palestine, flowers and grasses were burned in the ovens because quite often there was not sufficient wood. And Jesus gives the reason why we worry over material things in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30 by telling us, O ye of little faith. It's faith that we need to have in God. And that will keep us from letting anxiety and worry overtake us. Well, worry is something which the Gentiles do, for they do not know what God is. And it's shameful. And I would say again to you, it's shameful for us as children of God to come down to the level of the unbeliever. Of what value is our religion if we are distressed and depressed and weighed down from the cares of the world, just like the unbeliever? Don't you believe that God cares for you? Then, if you do, you must stop being overly anxious. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 11. And ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask for a loaf, will give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, he will not give him a snake, will he? If then, being evil, we know how to give good gifts to our children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Think about that. Your dad, when you ask him, never gave you something that would harm you. Why would we expect our Father in heaven to do anything less? In fact, shouldn't we expect him to do things much more so than we as earthly fathers? Well, there's no need to worry over material things, for the Father knows our needs and will satisfy them. In a way, when we worry to the extreme that we become depressed and despondent, we're essentially saying, I don't trust you, God. We're showing a distrust of our God. Such a distrust may be understandable in a person of the world who believes in a jealous and capricious and unpredictable God, but it's beyond comprehension, at least to me, that one who would call God his Father would think this way. The Christian really has no basis to worry because he believes in the love of God. Instead of worrying over material things, we really should be seeking first the kingdom of God. That which should come first in occupying our time and energy and thoughts should be things that will lead us to becoming a citizen, a good, strong, active citizen in the Lord's kingdom, being loyal to our King and being righteous in his eyes. Are you, as Jesus points out in these earlier verses, beginning in verse 19, are you seeking first his kingdom and his righteousness when you forsake the gathering together of saints? Some of you won't be back tonight. Some of you won't be here on Wednesday night. Now, you may have a good reason for not being here, but if you're not here, are you really seeking the kingdom of God? Are you putting it first? Are you staying away because you need to gather material goods, and or maybe you're protecting those goods that you already have? Are you afraid to be honest because it might reduce your income? Think about that the next time you're asked to do something at work. Are you staying in a sinful relationship because you're afraid you won't have food and raiment if you don't? Are you making yourself sick from stress over worldly matters? Are you angry and are you frustrated because things aren't going right in your marriage, in your life, at school? Do you believe, as Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8 tells us, that all things shall be added unto you if you are righteous in his sight? Well, it's foolish to worry over the future when we do not know what the future is going to bring. And when worrying about the future really doesn't change anything. What good does it do me to worry about what's going to happen next week? Because first of all, I don't know if I'm going to be here next week. Secondly, even if I am here, can I change what's going to happen next week? Or maybe I can do things better and make things a little easier. But there's really nothing that I can do about what's going to happen And even beyond that, worrying about the future events tend to rob me of the strength that I need for today's struggles. I need to concentrate on the issues of today, not to worry about them, but to concentrate and to solve them. You know, Mark Twain said, "I've had a lot of troubles in my life, most of which never happened." And that's so very, very true. Worry does not empty tomorrow of its trials, but it empties today of the strength and comfort that we need. Worry does not enable us to escape future troubles, but it helps us with our ability to cope today if we don't worry about things in the future. If we do, it tends to make us unfit to cope with our activities today. We need to learn to live today and to live one day at a time, because that's all God has given us, one day at a time. Someone said, don't cross your bridges until you get to them, and whatever the future holds in store for us, you know, God's still going to be there, He's still going to be in control, and He's going to give us sufficient grace to overcome all the adversities of life, whatever they are and whatever they happen to us. Because of David's great trust in God, David was able to say in Psalms 23:6, surely goodness and mercy and loving kindness will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Isn't that really what we all are aiming for? To dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Do you have the kind of faith that David had? Well, Jesus has proven that worrying is really needless and senseless and useless, and it shows that we lack faith. Well, will you work diligently to stop worrying about things that you have no control over in your life? And if you do, and if you put your faith in God, you can find peace of mind and comfort of soul through faith in the promises of God. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9 says that the Lord is not slow about His promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. And Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3 says, the steadfast of mind thou wilt keep in perfect peace, because he trusts in thee. And finally, in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And indeed, he is, if we'll just put our faith in him. If we've wasted our time on earth because we have filled our hearts with anxiety and worry and fear, the Lord's going to rebuke us in the end and send us away from Him. Let me challenge you by saying that we should spend far more of our time and our concern over our spiritual well-being and the salvation of our family and our soul. If we can just keep our family faithful to God and keep ourselves faithful to God, we've made a long step towards success. So let us resolve in our minds that we're going to be more concerned about our spiritual well-being and about the salvation of our family and then others. And let's not permit Satan to distort the proper sense of values that we should have, and that is to store up our treasures in heaven and not on this earth, to store them where there's no rusting, and to seek first the kingdom of heaven. Let us, if we're not, become one of God's children and know the peace of the soul that comes from a complete trust in Him. As His children, we need to trust Him, to be completely trusting in the things that we do. And if we're not a child of God, His invitation is here for you so that you can put your trust in Him and not have to worry about these things, and to realize that the splendor of God as shown in His creation gives us an assurance that we don't need to worry about things. If you need to come to the Lord in any way, would you come now as we stand and sing the song that's been selected?